minutes after the hour. Good afternoon, Northern Colorado. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy this Thursday afternoon. Hope everybody's rocking and rolling today. No Thursday night football. So that's kind of a bummer. Colfax was pretty bummed out about that. But we'll press on as best we can. Like I said yesterday with Colorado State's four Thursday games, I'm good with that. I think Steve Addazio even said it, according to what I was reading and some of the comments sent over to us from Colorado State, is that Addazio's like, hey, enjoy CSU on Thursday. You get to watch everything else throughout the rest of the weekend. That's kind of where I'm going with that. I'll take football on Thursday. I'll take CSU Rams on Thursday. Well, let's start breaking into this. Broncos, Patriots, we're going to preview this again from what we know. As of right now, it sure looks like Cam Newton's going to play. Looks like Drew Locke's going to play. Pat's Stephon Gilmore was at practice this morning. He will come off of the COVID list. So I would imagine the Patriots are going to get everybody ready to go. Wow, how did that work out? Mike Race of ESPN reported moments ago New England Patriots cornerback Stephon Gilmore was on the field for the first start of the team's practice Thursday, which indicates he's been medically cleared to come off the reserve COVID-19 list. So where will that should mean he's playing. The return of Gilmore, who had said he was asymptomatic, comes the same day as quarterback Cam Newton's return to practice. Newton had tested positive, of course, back on the second day of October. And the team also had, which we were really worried about this guy, the practice squad D-tackle, Bill Murray. Not that Bill Murray. But he's back at practice as well. And then starting defensive tackle Byron Coert is the only player currently remaining on that list. So that's what we know on the COVID side, who's in, who's out. But there's still so many other things to sort through when you're looking at injuries. Here's what we know about the Broncos today for practice. Obviously, Melvin Gordon did not practice, and it's listed as a non-injury, as you probably could have guessed. KJ Hamler did not participate. Limited availability was Noah Fant, but that's kind of a surprise. We talked to Zach Stevens yesterday from DNVR Broncos saying, hey, that's what I saw last week. This guy's hobbling around yesterday, looked pretty good. So Noah Fant, limited availability. I don't know what that means if he's going to go. Here's the good news. Full availability that practiced is Bryce Callahan. He did have a little bit of a concern with his wrist, but he's good. Devonta Harris, good. Philip Lindsay was a full go. Drew Locke was a full go in this one with that shoulder situation. A.J. Boye was not listed on anything, so apparently still on the IR. Don't think he's going to go on Sunday, at least from what we know at this stage. So that's who's in. That's who's out. And it looks like the Broncos are at least going to get back two very important players. Maybe three if Noah Fant goes. But you get Drew Locke and Philip Lindsay. I was reading an interesting article in the Denver Post, and we might switch this up. Our Power to Play Sports poll question is up, and it's a Nuggets-related question. You know, what's the biggest need for the Nuggets? Biggest. You have to select one. Rim protector, shooter, another defensive specialist, toughness, somebody just with an edge. Somebody can come in and kind of piss some guys off. Or depth at center. So here's where we'll get to that. I want to get to that. But we might switch that poll question up. If it works out in the contracts, now with the DUI and how many games is that going to mean for Gordon? 2, 3, 4? Again, keep in mind, he also was going 25 to 39 miles per hour over the speed limit. So that's all. You are taking all of that into account. Zach Stevens, again, with DNVR Broncos, tweeted yesterday that this might work out where some of that guaranteed money isn't guaranteed because of that. It's in the contracts. And the Broncos might be able to get out of next year's contract with Gordon. Now, that's not set in stone yet, but I would be curious your opinion, Broncos fans. if that is the case and the Broncos can get out of it, would you want them to? Now, we'll get into some Vic Fangio stuff and what exactly he said about Melvin Gordon and all that, but that's the question that I have. Because when the Broncos signed Melvin Gordon, I was shocked. I was a little bit disappointed. Not that I don't like Gordon, but I was just, you know, I felt like, whoa, you're knocking Philip Lindsay down? You're pushing him down in the depth chart. But then as we kind of progressed through camp, or, you know, I thought, well, here you go. If you can make these two guys work, you have something very, very unique. You know, you're looking at teams like Cleveland and you know, just some of these other teams around the league that have a 1-2 punch, and it seems to work very well. So I thought, well, that could be big. I was still very confused about what this offense was going to look like. So I started to make peace with that and say, man, that combo, and we saw it once. We saw it for one half of football against the Titans. And if you remember, the Broncos battled it out and had a bad timeout or lack thereof decision from Vic Fangio in week one. Otherwise, maybe they beat that team, and the Titans are undefeated. So it's just something to think about. We saw that first half experiment with Gordon and Lindsay, and it worked. And then that was it. Lindsay goes down with turf toe, and he doesn't come back out in the second half. So we won't see the Gordon thing probably Sunday. Again, that would be a Broncos decision. Maybe they make that decision now, and then the NFL says, all right, time served, so we'll give him another game or two on top of that, and then you'll get him back, you know, in 3 weeks. I'd like to see that combo work before I make a decision here on what Denver should do if they can get out of the contract. I'm more along with Vic Fangio on this. I mean, we all make mistakes. We screw up. It was a big screw up. It's a worse time to have that screw up because of the COVID situation, because you at any moment you could lose a player or have to shut down practice. You don't need extra things. You know, you're already having injuries. You're already having the threat of a COVID outbreak. You don't need other things. You don't need DUIs or any kind of dispute that would get you in trouble and get you suspended. So it's heightened this year. So if a player screws up by getting in a fight inside or outside of the facility or driving under the influence of alcohol or whatever, then, yeah, it definitely it magnifies it. It's never a good thing when you hear a player gets a DUI. But now more than ever, it's even more frustrating. Mark Kisla wrote in the Denver Post, it's never too late to do the right thing. Talking about Philip Lindsay. He says the arrest of Melvin Gordon gives Broncos excuse to do the right thing by Philip Lindsay and make him the number one running back. Well, according to Pat Shurmur, they're both the number one running backs. Doesn't make any sense. There's no such thing as they're both the number one running backs. There's not two number one wide receivers. There's not two number one corners. There's only one. And then there's a number two, and there's a number three. So they tried to spin this at the beginning of the season, and they even went as far as to start both of them on that Monday night against the Titans. They both started. And then the very next play, Lindsay ran off, and we got back to what our regular offense is going to be. Very rarely do you see two tailbacks in at the same time. It's not, you see two running backs, sure, but you don't typically see two tailbacks. And at the same time, because you're going to sacrifice another set of hands for two running backs. They're running backs for a reason. They're better at running than they are receiving. It's amazing how that works. So I agree with this. You know, the byline says, why should Lindsay start crucial game against Patriots? Unlike Gordon, he's never given Broncos any reason to doubt his trustworthiness. Well, I mean, if Gordon goes, if they do allow Gordon to play on Sunday, you better hope that Lindsay starts. Like, at the very least, if you're not going to suspend him for the game, Philip Lindsay needs to start. That, to me, seemed like a given. But if the fact that Kisla's put in the article makes you wonder, I think this whole thing has just been a strange deal. Vic said it's a teaching moment for all the guys, talking about the arrest and the DUI, but really wouldn't commit one way or the other to whether or not he's playing or what that looks like with Philip Lindsay. First Advantage text line 31996. He was going 71 MPH, which is miles per hour for the late person, in a 35 miles per hour zone. Whew. That's pretty rough, Colfax. According to court documents. Man, that is a big, big deal. So, yeah, there's definitely trouble coming. Kisler writes, when the NFL twice postponed the Broncos-Patriots game, forcing a week-long delay from the originally scheduled kickoff, Gordon was hot. He tweeted, ain't no way we practiced all week and they canceled our game. He tweeted Sunday. 3 days later, when Gordon was forced to sit out of practice, how did the teammates react? Drew Locke said, I was upset, but we're also here for him. It's like having a brother that gets in trouble. You're not going to bash him for what he did. You're going to pick him up and take him to get ice cream or something. But the problem with that is Drew Locke's like 5 years old. Melvin Gordon is not 5 years old. He's been in the league, 7 years? To me, that's okay. I get it. I appreciate what Drew Locke's saying. I appreciate what Vic Fangio's saying. But this isn't little brother learning the ropes in the NFL. This is big brother and one of the most experienced players on your offense, arguably one of the most talented. So in some way, that makes him a little bit of a leader. So, I mean, I have no problem with what Drew Locke said. But that's a problem. This is a problem. And it's a bad look for Elway. It's yet again a bad look, another bad move. I mean, I'm reading through this list, Colfax, of who's in, who's out Sunday. You're already battling injuries at a rate we've never seen with this Broncos team. We've never seen anything quite like this with the Broncos. Wouldn't you think that you'd be a little more focused on not getting in trouble? I know it's easier said than done, but I've always wondered, why do athletes have such a hard time not getting someone to drive them? I mean, they have so much money, man. It's so easy to have someone get your vehicle for you. If you were not planning on drinking, but suddenly that night turned into drinking. Oh, well, I'm not going to be able to drive. You are a high-profile guy, and the magnifying glass is planted over the Broncos, especially with these injuries, especially when you're 1-3. Is this enough, given the situation and the timing of everything, to really force the Broncos to make that tough decision? If they can get out of this at the end of the year, is this something where you really do push at this? Now, I push back and maybe you don't bring it back next year. Maybe you can get out of that contract, or maybe you do swallow some of that. According to this note here, the league could punish Gordon hard, as the collective bargaining agreement allows a 3-game suspension, which could cost the 27-year-old running back hundreds of thousands of dollars. It's a rough go, man. And he may play. I mean, they're all still hopeful. Drew Locke said he's still hopeful. Yeah, I'm not quite sure what all this looks like going forward. But they got $9 million that they're paying Gordon, and they're paying Philip Lindsay $750,000. I do think that the Broncos need to do right by Philip, and I don't know when that's going to happen, and I know I've harped on it. I know I've harped on that a lot, but it just doesn't seem right. Pillow Fight Dan got a 71 and a 35 ticket heading to a golf tournament one time. Yeah, that's worth it. It was 6 a.m., so I wasn't hammered yet, thankfully. That's, I mean, come on, dude. That's a lot. That's not 10 over. That's a lot over. 71 in a 35? I'm becoming old man, though. I stand outside in my yard and just wait for people to speed, and then I yell at them. Actually, I just look at them. You, there's nothing good about what you are. There's kids all over the place. And then I'm the same guy who gets mad at the kids for running around in the street. I'm mad at both. You've seen the animals drive by here. They're going 70 miles per hour. He's probably playing. Yeah, Gordon's probably going to play Sunday. But you better start Lindsay. There's no other way around it for me. You better start showing this guy some kind of respect, because I feel like they have just treated this guy like crap. Your actions speak louder than words, right? Elway probably can say all the right things to Philip. And Pat Shurmur can say, well, they're both starters. Colfax, you got the money. You're paying One guy, $9 million a year. You're paying another guy $750,000 a year. Who's the starting running back? Probably the guy that's in the millions. Pillow Fight Dan says, Weld County roads at 6 a.m. Easy to do, old man. You're going 71 on those Weld County roads? You hooligans, be careful. I know we're not the brightest group, but be careful. 20 minutes after the hour. When we come back, I want to get to, what do the Nuggets need to do? What's the most important? Don't give me the, we need a rim protector that can shoot. We need a rim protector that can play great defense one-on-one all the time. I want to know what you think is the biggest need for the Nuggets. Number one, that's the Power to Play Sports poll question of the day, available at thewholeshow.com. Is it a shooter? Is it depth at the center position? I'm telling you, you guys are, we're quick, and me included, we're quick to want to move on from Plumlee and Millsap. If you do that, who's your backup center? Who's your backup power forward? Who's your power forward if Jeremy Grant's not there? If you put him at small forward, and there's no guarantee that Grant is a Nugget. We got to be careful. All right, it's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We'll be right back.
From UNC, CU, and CSU to the Nuggets, Rockies, and Broncos. The Hull Show is Colorado's sports talk show on 1310 KFKA and 1310KFKA.com. No code now. Weekdays at 4 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 1310 KFKA.
Hey, what's going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS 4 down in Denver, Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KSKA.
Minutes after the hour, welcome back to the show. The whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. We want to tell you guys about Auto Tailor. That's where I go to get my car taken care of, whether that's a routine oil change, a blown out tire on the side of Highway 85, or just kind of a weird noise that's coming from the engine. I'll take it over to Auto Tailor, and they hook me up. I take my wife's vehicle there. That vehicle is much more important than mine because we have a little car seat in the back. And so you got to find someone that you trust, and those are the guys. Auto Taylor and Greeley, I know the folks here at the station trust these guys and a lot of our hooligans along the way. That's Auto Taylor and Greeley. Their vehicle diagnostics are advanced and, more importantly, accurate. Tell them we sent you here from the whole show powered by PDC Energy. A couple of different NBA TV put out the top 10, their top 10 2020-2021 free agents. Man, it's hard to say. 2020-2021, that's a tough one. Just looking forward here with what the Nuggets might do. And listen, I'm going to break into all of this with Chris Dempsey in the second hour because we got to make some sense of this because every team goes over the salary cap. It's a soft salary cap, so you just got to pay the luxury tax. And it gets a little complicated when you look at it. Every team ultimately goes over it, but how much are the Nuggets willing to go over that and pay in that luxury tax? So as of right now, they're even. Because it's it was 109. I believe it's going to go up to 115 million. So the Nuggets would still have, you know, some room to play with. But how much room? If it's 115, and then you assume Jeremy Grant opts out, so now you're back down to 100 million. Now you have 15 million to play with, but Grant's wanting around 16 to 20. So if you bring him back, that puts you right at the line. Then you have to ask how far up are you going to go? Because if you don't re-sign Millsap, Plumlee, or Torrey Craig, you will need to fill those positions out. You will need to have not a start, because Grant would be your starting power forward, or at least he should be. Now, I know he's technically a small forward, but I think you'd have to go small there. That's my opinion anyway. And then if you're going Porter, you got him locked up in his rookie contract. You got Jamal locked up. You got Harris locked up. You got Joker locked up. So that takes care of your starting five. But now you're starting to try to pay for those reserves. And, I mean, what can you get Plumlee for? What if you did re-sign him, could you get him for much less? Because Plumlee was $14 million on the books. You're not going to pay Plumlee $14 million. Millsap was $30 million on the books. You're damn sure not going to pay. I mean, what could you get Millsap? I mean, would you guys, all you hooligans, say if the price is right, what is that price? A few million dollars, would that work? How much is he going to fight to be, you know, close to what he was doing? Anyway, some of those lists, the top 10 free agents, according to NBA TV, Fred VanVleet, you're going to look at, you know, point guard status there. Brandon Ingram, I talked about Danilo Gallinari, which as much as I like that name and the connection to the Nuggets, if you bring back Jeremy Grant, it just doesn't make much sense. Unless, you know, Dempsey and I have gone back and forth, and he's, you know, he's pretty good about not, because he, you know, works at DenverNuggets.com. But I made the suggestion, and he kind of just, you know, laughs. I said, well, you could move Gallo down, I guess, if that was something. But again, you don't have that kind of money. You got, I mean, the other guys on this list, like Carmelo Anthony's on the list. Dwight Howard's on that list. Bogdanović is on that list. Christian Wood's on that list. Montrezl Harrell, he's on that list too. I mean, there's another tough defensive player. Saw him with the Clippers. Hassan Whiteside is on that list too, and that's the name that keeps coming to my mind as far as a guy that is okay coming off the bench. And that might be an area where the Nuggets really look at there. But that's our Power to Play Sports poll question. What's the biggest need for the Nuggets? Because you can't tell me they're perfect. They didn't win the title. I mean, even the Lakers are going to tweak their roster. So when you look at it, you got rim protector, shooter, another defensive specialist, depth at center, which if you move on from Plumlee and Millsap, that's Bol Bol. And I put the toughness factor in there. The Nuggets really don't have that guy that's just kind of nasty. He's tough, but he's nasty. And that's why I think McClain brought up Marcus Smart a few weeks back. You'd have to trade for him, obviously. But he's an okay shooter. He's about like Harris as far as his point production. But his defense is there. And he does kind of have that attitude. So what do you think the biggest need is for the Nuggets going forward? And will they look to offload a couple of contracts? I mean, you look at Will Barton on the books, and if you are trying to not get too high over the... Because last year, the salary cap was 109. The Nuggets' total in their contracts was 130. So, I mean, you're over it. You were over it by quite a bit. You had to pay, I don't know what it was, $20, $38 million or something like that in luxury tax. That's probably close to what it was. But Will Barton counts, you know, in 2021, $14 million of that. A guy that didn't play in your best season since the Carmelo Anthony days when Chauncey Billups was there. So you got Will Barton on the books for $14 million. You're paying Gary Harris $20 million. I mean, see what I'm saying? When you start to look at this and then you guys are like, oh, we need to go get a rim protector. We need to get another shooter. Well, you can't have it all. If you're going to go out and pay a rim protector and pay a shooter and you want to re-sign Jeremy Grant, that's going to get you back up there. And when you look at you're paying a guy like Harris, 19, and again, I think we all agree we love his defense, but is he worth $19 million anymore? And I mean, even if you wanted to, could you trade that out? Let's talk about it more a little bit later on the program. We'll bring Chris Dempsey of Denver Nuggets, DenverNuggets.com and Altitude TV. But we're going to get to catch up next with Colorado State information with Kelly Lyle from the Fort Collins, Colorado. And first, let's get the latest on the local sports flash.
It's a party in Northern Colorado's voice. 1310 KFKA, the Block Party, Wednesdays from 4 to 10 p.m.
Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour. Welcome back. We are live from the Auto Collision Specialist Studios. If you want to text the program or you're new to the show, text KFKA to 31996. 31996. That's our First Advantage text line. Joining me now from the Fort Collins, Colorado, and Kelly Lyle, talking all things Colorado State. And Kelly, are things opening up a little bit more as far as media coverage goes? I'm seeing emails, but still kind of sorting through the plans.
Well, we got to talk to Coach Steve Adazio yesterday on a Microsoft Teams format. So it was a virtual interview, obviously, but that was helpful, and got to spend some time talking to him a little bit about what they've been going through. And yes, that's really the first opportunity since July that media has had to talk to anybody associated with the program. So that was helpful. They didn't practice yesterday because of wildfire smoke, but they have in general been practicing in the mornings, and they've had their issues. But it was good to just get a little bit of opportunity to talk to Steve Adazio, and he was pretty adamant that the conclusions of the investigation, as he called it, or assessment, as the people who performed it chose to call it after the fact, pretty much absolved him of any wrongdoing. That's a little bit debatable the way he chose to interpret those conclusions, but nevertheless, he was pretty adamant that everything's good and that the team's good and that they're going to kind of fight through what the various things they have to deal with over the next week plus to get ready for that first game. And he acknowledged that, you know, every team in the conference is going through, has had multiple teams have had practices called off because of wildfire issues, COVID testing, contact tracing. So he's sort of a little bit of a, you know, let's go. We're doing the same thing as everybody else. Let's try to be as ready as possible for that first game, and let's get started on the season. So I think he's excited about that. He's, you know, easy to forget. It's he's been on the job for 10 months and he's yet to coach a game.
Yeah, no, that's the interesting thing here, tackling a lot heading into this new job with Colorado State, and yet to coach a game, but he's certainly been in the news a lot. And Kelly, how many of the questions were really just surrounding, from the reporters, from you guys, of course, kind of surrounding more about the investigation side of things? And like you said, was he pretty open as far as discussing that, or was he almost like, hey, let's move on, I want to talk football?
I think he preferred to talk football, but he didn't dismiss the questions about the investigation. I think three quarters of the questions were more football oriented. It was pretty obvious the way he answered the couple questions that came up about the investigation that, you know, he was pointing to what the conclusion said and said, yeah, you know, we're good, let's move on. So I think that, and that probably then kept people from asking additional questions about it as time went on. But, he didn't shy away from answering them either. So he was clearly prepared to answer them, and he did. And he said that, you know, it was found that the allegations in his mind were false. That's what the report showed. Well, again, it's a matter of how you choose to read those conclusions. They didn't say they were false in any way, shape, or form. They just said that the issues weren't widespread enough to cause concern, and that, you know, maybe there were some misinterpretations of different things that did happen. So, you know, again, obviously the university has decided they're not going to do anything about, you know, he's still their football coach. And so his job is to get this team ready to play football this season. So I understand that, you know, I don't know that he could approach it any other way at this point than the way he did in that call. So it's, you know, I think they're ready to play some football, and I think there are some other concerns that were raised in that, and maybe that'll change the way he, you know, approaches and deals with his players down the road. Maybe it won't. Maybe something more will come of the overall suggestion that there were, you know, maybe some bullying type potential abusive behavior in the program that still needs to change, and that was just forwarded back to the university saying, well, it wasn't racially based, which is what you asked us to look into, but there are some things maybe you should investigate further. Yeah. So we'll see where that all goes. That's something that I'm sure nobody's going to delve into in the next 2 months as they're trying to actually play a shortened season here, but maybe in the off season somebody will go back and look a little bit more extensively at that.
Well, Kelly, looking at the season with, you know, obviously we learned this week there's a lot of Thursday games there. I personally don't mind that because I kind of agree with what Adazio said about, hey, it gives you a chance to watch other football games too. So I really don't mind it. Some Rams fans I know have mixed feelings about it. But when you just look at the schedule, do you have a prediction or anything? I mean, I kind of keep laying on this 3 to 4 wins, Kelly, and I think Rams fans might be happy if you can go .500 in this weird year.
You know, I've looked at it a few times. I think that's kind of a reasonable expectation, is somewhere in the 3-5 to 5-3 range. I think that's very reasonable. I mean, yes, it's a new coach, a new staff, and there's a lot of things they're going through. But, you know, a significant amount of teams, Colorado State doesn't get to play too many of them, but several teams in this conference do have new coaches. Half the conference has new coaches. So, you know, they're opening against a New Mexico team that has a first-year coach. They're playing the Fresno State team that has a new coach in game two. You know, in game five, they're playing a UNLV team with a new coach. So, you know, they're certainly not alone in that situation. Actually, I guess San Diego State has a new coach too, but he's coached him before, and Brady Hoke returning. So, you know, there's a lot of change in the conference this year. And then you throw in the various complications with COVID and the way that affected both off-season preparation and even in-season practice. I mean, New Mexico was, you know, having troubles getting on the practice field. San Jose State had to go to a remote location, another Cal State campus in the far north coast of the state to be able to practice. Fresno State, San Diego State, you know, everybody had different restrictions on practice. Nevada lost some practices because of wildfire smoke. Everybody's kind of in this weird upheaval, so I think it makes it a little less predictable. What might happen this season. And that should really, as a fan, that should make you kind of excited, because this, all of a sudden, this Colorado State team with a first-year coach that might have been a normal year, you'd go, well, it's going to be rebuilding. You might go, hey, you know what? They've got as good a chance as anybody at doing something this year, because everybody's in this boat.
Boy, and Kelly, if Adazio and this crew can find a way to make this a successful season, I mean, everything aside, you'd have to stand back and say, wow, how was he able to do this? Because there's a lot of things going against this program. Obviously, they've been in the news in a negative light the last couple of months. Warren Jackson's not coming back. That's a big deal. And then, like you said to start the segment, the smoke. The smoke is an issue. So, obviously, we're all dealing with the COVID-19 stuff, but it just seems like Colorado State, man, they've been through the ringer. And I'm not saying it's of no fault of their own necessarily, but if they somehow pull out a positive season, we're going to look at that and say, man, maybe the Rams have the right guy.
Yeah, it's going to be hard to say, because like I just said, every school in the conference has this type of stuff going on. So the teams they're playing are all in kind of that boat too. So I, at the same time, as yes, you know, I say that Colorado State's got as good a chance as anybody, I also think that every school in the conference is facing their own share of adverse circumstances, not all that different from what Colorado State's been going through. In some ways, Colorado State, they got in more spring practices than almost anybody by getting in eight. You know, they got a little bit of a head start in that regard compared to some teams. They were able to start practicing full team the minute the conference announced they were going to go back to, you know, play this shortened fall season. The Rams are on the practice field the next morning as a full team, whereas a lot of schools, you know, Fresno State, they still, or San Jose, some schools, they still weren't allowed to share footballs yet at that point because of public health orders. So, you know, more, which meant you couldn't throw a football to another player. Things, or hand it off to them, things as simple as that. So I think at the same time that you want to say, you know, boy, commend them if they have a great season, you also have to take it with a grain of salt and realize that if they do have a great season, it may not be all that wonderful a sign of what's to come, because every other school they're playing is in these kind of weird circumstances. So I think that has to be, whatever happens this season, I think everybody has to know that you just can't put the same kind of assessment on it you would during a normal season.
Kelly, what's the eligibility situation look like? I know we've gone back and forth and looking into what, you know, our seniors going to be given another year. What does that look like? Have you heard more?
Seniors are going to be given another year. That's it seems like that's a pretty much across the board thing that's gone through.
Wow.
So yeah, I mean, you know, you've got, and now they've pushed it through for basketball as well. So, you know, it's going to be very interesting how that's going to work out and what you do with roster management and what that means for your incoming recruiting classes. And, you know, our coaches going to have to go back you know, back off some commitments they've already made to recruits, because Joe Parker made it clear that Colorado State doesn't have the finances to just award extra scholarships, and that each coach is going to have to do this within their own scholarship limits, as far as what the university can pay for and afford. So that's going to be a whole nother issue to deal with. And if they don't change that early signing period, they're going to be dealing with that right at the crux of this season, because that early signing period falls right at the end of this shortened season at the, you know, in late December.
Yeah, no, it's good on one end, right, for the players and for guys that you want to see, but you're right. It brings up so many different complications, too. I don't know how you sort through all this.
I don't either. And any coach, you know, the number one thing you're judged on is your integrity, in a lot, especially when it comes to recruiting. And the last thing in the world any coach ever wants to be accused of is offering somebody a scholarship and then having to pull that offer. That just is a really bad thing, and there may be some instances where coaching staffs, not just at Colorado State but around the country, may have to do some of that this year, depending on the number of players that want to come back and whether or not their individual schools can afford to fund the extra scholarships in a time when we know finances are incredibly tight at universities across the country. They're all struggling right now. They're, you know, I talked to Joyce McConnell the other day. In addition to all the money that Colorado State is not getting with, you know, a little bit of a drop in tuition, a huge potential drop in income in state funding, maybe a drop in federal funding, that's still to be determined, but they're paying a lot of money to test for COVID. Even though Colorado State's doing a lot of it on their own campus and able to do it cheaper than other schools, it's still an expensive endeavor to be testing these students every day, and they're not getting them. That's not getting reimbursed by the state and the federal government, at least not to the level that they're spending.
Yeah, no, I think it just opens up a lot more questions again on the personnel side. I mean, you look at CSU basketball, for example. My goodness, this group we're already excited about, and they're relatively young. And now you give them the other years, that makes things interesting. But there's just so many things to sort through. It'll be interesting to see how all teams do it, but especially Colorado State.
Yeah, it's going to be it'll be very fascinating, and I think it's going to create some really tough dilemmas in recruiting. That's the biggest concern I have. The two biggest concerns I have is for whether minor sports that are not bringing in lots of revenue can survive, whether there will still be swimming teams and golf teams and indoor and outdoor track and field teams and things like that at Colorado State and as many universities as possible 2-3 years from now. And then that, you know, you're able to still provide those opportunities for the people that are out there that you've sort of been recruiting, that you've made offers to, and that's going to be a really challenging thing.
Yeah, no question about it. Kelly, appreciate you, my friend, and we'll see how this progresses, and looking forward to getting closer to kickoff.
I am, too. It's a week and one day away.
Yeah, not that far.
Well, 2 days, I guess. I guess we're not doing a Thursday game till week two.
Yeah, it seems like every week is going to be a Thursday game, but you're right. Half the season. All right, Kelly, we'll catch up with you next week, my friend.
All right, we'll talk to you later.
All right, that's Kelly Lyle, Fort Collins, Coloradoan. Great stuff from him as always. And yeah, football confirmed. Yeah, they moved the basketball thing over, so seniors will get the other year. So there's no seniors. There's no such thing as a senior athlete right now. 12:50 the time. We'll take a short break. When we come back, we'll wrap up hour number one. Anthony Davis is opting out of that $28 million contract. What kind of money is he going to get paid? My goodness. We'll be right back. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.
Thursday Night Football is on tonight. Don't miss opening kickoff while you drive home. Keep it here on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA. Hear Mornings with Gale, weekdays 6 to 9 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 1310 KFKA.
This is Christopher Dempsey, your Nuggets insider from Altitude Sports, and you are listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
Give a shout-out to Mosier Funeral and Cremation Service. Services as unique as life. Live well, plan ahead. Give Scott Robin or a member of their great staff a call today. Talk to them about pre-planning. It truly is an amazing, amazing gift. 970-330-6824. Their website, Mosier, M-O-S-E-R, MosierFuneralService.com. Zach Stevens from DNVR Broncos tweeted out moments ago that Garrett Bowles was not practicing today. What does that mean? I am getting used to this. Is it an injury? Is it something else? And then it was reported again, Melvin Gordon didn't practice yesterday, but he did practice today. So that would lead me to believe they're going to play him. He's going to play on Sunday. But, you know, I think you make sure Phillip Lindsay is the starting running back there. Anthony Davis is opting out of his $28.7 million option with the Lakers. No, he's not going to be a free agent for long. He's going to go right back to Los Angeles. But he could be getting something like a five-year, $202 million deal. Wow. That would be close to, you know, just looking at a salary, what, 40? Like, there's only one player that's getting 40, and that's Steph Curry. Wow. I mean, Russell Westbrook's at 38. Chris Paul's 38. LeBron James is at 37. But, yeah, what is – and, you know, the question for me will be if they offer him – because it sounds like they could offer him a five-year deal that's worth $202 million. But how will Davis want to work that? Because is LeBron James going to be in the NBA and, for you know, first off, with the Lakers – for 5 years? And if not, then Anthony Davis might want to look elsewhere. He might want to say, hey, do a shorter deal where he could still get his 40 mil, but maybe he looks at a shorter deal because I don't see LeBron playing for five more seasons. And if Davis, you know, one of the reasons he's in L.A. was probably the main reason he's in L.A. is because of LeBron James. So, but no, he's not. That'll settle things down now. Free agency will start to work itself out. We were waiting to see what Anthony Davis would do, but he's probably going to do upwards of close to $40 million a year. All right, when we come back, we'll talk to Chris Dempsey. Will the Nuggets have some big salary cap issues to look at going forward? And Drew Locke, big test coming up this weekend. We'll be right back. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy.